Now let our hearts be prepared as we welcome Jay LaRue back to share God's word with us. Would you welcome him as he comes?
What a tremendous honor it is for me for you to do that. Thankfully, it's not Super Bowl Sunday. I am speaking next Sunday, and I said to the pastor, who's not exactly the biggest football fan, but the people in this church are, and I said, Pastor so-and-so, and you know, I'm glad we're doing that, but are you sure, you know, 6 to 7:30, you know, no, nobody cares. Well, I guess he had a staff meeting, and 2 days after that, he said to me, we're going to move it to 5. 5 to 6. I said, oh, okay, you must have heard from your men. Actually, he said everybody had something to say about it. Acts chapter 9. Amazingly, we've been in the New Testament for the entire day. It's been such a great weekend. Again, what an honor to Cassie and the youth are incredible. Amazing. Saturday night, the men's meeting, and of course, you are blessed by Hannah, and you know, when it comes to Hannah, you haven't seen anything yet, but anyhow, beside that, we're pretty excited about that, and I love that I'm next to and with her at the same time. That was fun. I want to read, we'll pray, and I want to set the historical text for you as we look at these verses. Acts chapter 9. These verses, just to say in front, altered my life in so many ways. Verse 10, Acts 9. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And the Lord said, yeah, I'm here. And the Lord said, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, excuse me for just a second. I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, chill out. Well, it was not quite that, but... go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. Let's pray. Father, I still thank you for so many things. Obviously, Jesus the most, as Pastor Sean has so graciously and intently said in our song. But Lord, especially for this time of our lives in the kingdom of God. Especially for those of us who for decades now have set the watch and believing for you to do something that would be unprecedented, marveled at, awed at. It's not going to be. It's already here. So Father, tonight, do something in all of our hearts, especially with me, and bring this supernatural into such an everyday normal life that we become really what you destined us to be, was super normal, naturally supernatural. We're not lessening you, Father. We're heightening us. Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The historical part of the book of Acts is very key to us. And sometimes we have a feeling that the book of Acts happened in a month or 2 weeks or 6 weeks. It's about a 25-year period. So I just want you to know that this is the beginning of the greatest event the world had ever known. Peter, who is unlearned, unknown of anything, will quote out of the prophet Joel about this outpouring of Spirit. It was to be the beginning of the church, but please let me say this to you. It was never to be the only time he poured out his Spirit. We must have it, and we will have it. The first day, 4,000 people saved. Yo, that's evangelism in my book. Within 3 years, another 3,000, and they're at 7,000 believers in 3 years. By the time we get to the fifth year of the church, they stopped numbering them. They just were added to the church. Some will say, historians will say, up to 10 to 12, maybe more, thousand. Think about Cornerstone. What are we going to do with 10,000 people here in the next 3 years? We might build a building. See, it's so far beyond our conception because of what we've lived and what our history has been. And even the revivals of the centuries have never seen such things, especially here. By the sixth year, we have somebody new on the scene. We've had believers, up to 10,000, who are believers. They believe. They're immediately immersed into the kingdom. They're partners with the kingdom of God. Everything that God has for them, it's theirs, no matter how they act, no matter where they go. Even if they go on their own journey, they can come back and they'll still be in the kingdom fully. There's never a penance or a penalty. Isn't that incredible? Man, I couldn't do that with my kids. If they were wrong, they had a punishment. Not this God, and not with his children. But we have this new person that shows up in the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. 6 years into the new church, they are disciples. They're a new person. They're not believers, they're disciples. There's an advancement in who they are. The word means a pupil, a student. They're the believers who have made a decision. You know what? We're not just simply going to believe about this king and kingdom, but we're going to become students of his and his kingdom. We're going to begin to walk like he walked. We're going to begin not to just listen to his teaching. We really want to apply it to our lives. That's a disciple. They started off with 12, but they lost one because he was a devil. They added another one, and these 120 now are somewhere around 10,000 or 12,000, and now there's this multiplication of these disciples. They're different than believers. They're believers who believed. Boy, I know tonight I've got disciples here. You know why? You're here on Sunday night. Oh, yeah. I made my decision 2 years into the kingdom when I was 22 years old when I got born again. I believed the Lord worked incredible miracles through our life. But somewhere around 24 years old, I made a decision, you know what? I'm not just going to listen to what's being taught. I'm going to apply it to my life. That's when I became a disciple. Here we are 8 years into it. I want to bring us to this moment. I'm going to move this because I'm going to need the front here. I love this story. It changed me. Here we have this man by the name of Ananias from Damascus. He's a disciple. I love the way Luke is writing the book of Acts. And he's making sure that we know that this man has made a decision, though he's in Damascus, which is going to be of the Syria area, that he's made a decision to be a disciple. He's not from Jerusalem. He's from Damascus. The church is 8 years old. He's not praying. See, there's some things that I love about our Bible that aren't there that I've got to notice. He's not praying. He's not fasting. He's not even reading his Bible. In fact, he's watching just simply reruns of Touched by an Angel. Sorry about that. I was going to say getting ready for the Super Bowl. That would have been too spiritual. At least Touched by an Angel, he's somewhere in the ballpark, right? Yeah. I was going to say Friended by God, but I have Melinda said that's so. Anyways, you might like it. So he's just doing nothing. He's just being who he is. A man who believed in Jesus Christ has made a decision to simply be a disciple. He's just hanging out. And all of a sudden, which I look at, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, Ananias. Now immediately, I'm going to kind of do these in triplets because it's amazing. I want to stop at each one of them. Ananias, he's not shocked. He almost has to TiVo the show he's watching because he doesn't want to miss it. I'm here. Now watch. I just want to take these again, triplets. Arise. I want you to go to a street called Straight. Okay, let me just come out of the story for a moment. Again, first of all, he knows who he is. He says his name, and he's not shocked that he's hearing from the Lord. I don't believe it's audible. Very seldom is it really that way. It's usually stressed in the scriptures when it's spoken out here. Some people think because that you hear out here, that's really something. No, if I got to hear out here, that means I have no ear in here. It's simply in here. And for a guy who hears, and so this is nice for me to do this, who has to understand this, who has to, it lives in this particular destiny, and sometimes people think, well, Jay, you're special. No, 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 no. Jay saw this, and it made Jay believe something. It really opened up a way for Jay, even though the Lord was still gracious then, but nothing like he is now. So he gets this, his name, then he gets clear direction. Well, I know some people come and they want direction from me, and I'm glad that you come to hear from me, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like hearing from his mouth. He says to him, arise. Man, I would already be calling up TVN. I just want you to know that the Lord has spoken my name, and I have direction. I just want you to know that. Now he gets this thing that, I mean, every prophet I know would want this. I mean, every prophet. But notice he's none of these things. He's just a, yeah. So he says, I want you to go down to the street called Straight. He gets a location, a street. Okay, and go back to the story. He says, there's a man by the name of Judas. He owns the house. Right now, there's a man in his house called Saul of Tarsus. He's praying. And his prayer, and while he's praying, he's had a vision of a man named Ananias coming to him to lay hands on him. Okay, so can I come back out of the story? You're getting it though, right? Now I'm already impressed that he knows his name and he's called his name. I'm already impressed he's got direction. Now I'm really impressed he has a street. Now I'm unbelievably impressed that he knows the guy who lives in the house there. I mean, you better call TVN, CBN, and a few other whoever they are networks. This is incredible. Wow, this guy must be something. So he knows he's Judas. And then on top of this, two things I want to say in this part. He gets, the Lord tells him about a man who's in the house. The man is praying right now. And the man is having a vision of a man named Ananias coming to lay hands upon him so that he might see. I'm blown away by this. This is like, this is incredible revelation about a moment, prophetically, being known something that was not known. But even better than this, in this very moment, is this. Saul has been saved 3 days. 3 days. The guy was killing people, beating up Christians. He didn't like them. And in an encounter with Jesus Christ, he could help with the... Well, we would too if I was going home and I thought, you know, this Jesus doesn't work, and boom, he's in my car. What are you doing? And basically, that's what it was. He shows up, it's like, he was shocked and awed and amazed. 3 days. 3 days, this man who now believes in Jesus is having a vision about a man, and he has the man's name, and he knows the man's coming to lay hands upon him. Come on, see, this is the thing I'm talking about. This is the supernatural church of Jesus Christ that I want us to be ready to be. See, now this is a little easier for me because I live here more than some, but this was not for a prophet, an apostle. This was not for anybody special. This is for the person who believes and is willing to be a disciple. This is normal Christian life. You okay? Let's go on to the story. In the middle of this, which blows me away, Ananias is going to argue with the Lord. Now, I'm afraid to sin because I'll get hit by lightning. I argue with Linda, but it's a penalty usually. I'm not going to argue with the God of the universe. I'm not. I don't have that kind of, I don't even know if the skill set, that kind of, I don't have it. I mean, that takes some real, like, dude, I want to say to him, shh, shh. I mean, you want to get hit by lightning? But I realized that the Lord doesn't mind this interaction. He's not up there going, oh my God. Father, did you hear this? Michael, come here. What? I mean, this guy's going to argue. I'm God. I'm Jesus the Christ. I'm at the right hand. I've conquered all things. Doesn't this stupid disciple know this? He's going to debate. No, see, he doesn't mind the interaction. It released me to be vulnerable to him and to be willing to be real with him. I mean, I don't shake my fist. Let's not be stupid. No disciple does that. But Ananias didn't understand it. He's about to say, whoa, wait, I've heard bad things about this guy. Sometimes, listen, I've stood over people and about to say something, and I knew bad things about that person. And I don't, there's no conversation in words with me and him, but I'll just be, and we'll just be having this debate in my mind, in my heart, what I know because of what this person's doing and what this person's about and what's going on in their lives. And do you want me to say this to this person? And the Lord just does, all I got to get is a nod. I just know it's right. So I say it. Oh, yeah. And sometimes the pastors call me into his office and say, do you know who that guy was? I say, yeah, I know who he was. Do you know what he does? I do know what he does. Then how could you say that? I says, this is the thing that I want you to know about him. He loves to declare those things that cannot be as though they already are. So he says to him, he's got authority. He's been beating up, I love this too, your people, not our brothers. Your people. Yeah, that's a good man. This is a problem that you're beating up your people. Not my brothers, not my people, not my, your people. And the Lord says, so I'm going to pick up the story again. You okay right now? So what do we have? Just real quickly, because I don't take all this time, even though the clock's not working. In the name of Jesus, no. So here he is, this guy, and it's so normal. I mean, he doesn't hit the ground. Isn't it something he doesn't fall on the ground and go, oh, my God, the Lord's speaking to him. It's so normal. It's just, it is. It's supposed to be. So he sits there, and then after the debate, the Lord says to him, no, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel of mine. What a word. He is to bear my name and share my name and represent my name is the idea for the Gentiles, kings, and the Jews. I will show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow. What a thing to say. What a thing to have in his heart. So he goes. Now, I just got to play like, you okay? I don't do that, do I? So fun. So this is my picture. Gets to the house. Now, this guy Judas is in, he's not a scary man, he's just Judas, a good guy. He's in there hiding Saul, basically. I mean, the door knocks, he's like, you expecting anybody? Saul can't talk, he's blind, he doesn't know what's going on. He's totally confused. So I said, did we expect somebody? No. Did you tell Saul? You didn't tell your sister, did you? I didn't. I didn't say anything. I did. Plus, my cell phone wasn't working. I had to plug it in. Look, it's still going. Well, who could this be? I mean, this is, it's, our Bible's beautiful. He kind of does one of those, you know, who's there? Ananias. Who? Knock, knock. Opens up the door. He goes, I need to talk to Saul. Just got to be like this. Saul, how do you know? It's a long story. I'll explain it after. I know he's here. I need to speak to him. So he walks in, and Saul's sitting there. He's blind. Please watch. He says, Saul, the Lord who met you on the way. Now, no one knew that. And nor did the Lord tell him that in the conversation at his house. When he began to move in the direction the Lord gave him, the Lord revealed to him how he met with Saul. See, I'll tell you, there's a thing of being obedient and walking with the Lord. And I appreciate people say to me, thank you for being obedient to the Lord when I speak or in their prophecy, or they say, you know, so, and I'm thinking, I'm not being obedient, I'm just being. I sometimes got to rethink it. We're just walking with him, and in the walking with him, he reveals himself. So here he is. He just comes. And Saul knows this. Why? Because he just had a vision himself. I mean, this is ridiculous. That's why Xavier, you're going to get born again? Here, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And by the way, get ready for visions, prophecy, healings, miracles. Yeah, go back to work. Should I go to Bible school? No, just go back to work. Just be what you've been being. With different character, though. I would have to add that in there. But behave yourself. I gotta stick something in there because I'm still a man. So what she says to him, the Lord who came with you has sent me to you that you would receive sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Ananias lays hands upon a blinded man. And immediately the scales fall off his eyes and he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only does this man hear from the Lord with clear direction to a man, the street where the man lives, the man's house, who's in the house, what's happening to that man at the very moment, his name being used by the Lord to that man, and that man, and he, on the way there, he knows the calling of this man, he knows how the Lord met him and what happened on the way, he understood this. Not only that, but at his hand, God worked a miracle. Here's the best part, and I'm through with this story. You never hear from him again. To me, that's the best part of it all. He doesn't pop up somewhere and go, "Hey, you remember me? Ananias?" Saul would probably be like, "No. No, you got your start because of me. The call of God came from to me to you. Remember I laid hands on you? I noticed in all your writings, I haven't heard once, one time you said to King Agrippa, big deal. And you hardly mentioned me. Matter of fact, you didn't mention me. I mean, am I of no value anymore?" See, it wasn't about who he was. It was about who he is. He wants us to move this supernaturally, naturally. And so for me, before I ever did what I'm doing now, of course, under the guidance of my early pastors, our Bible college teachers, there was a time and maybe once a year I might have a word for the church and I would exercise it that way. But when I started to see this and I was raised in that charismatic, that prayer group, that all we knew was the supernatural. We had no Bible or nothing. And fortunately, the Lord brought me away through the scriptures and brought balance and lines for me and all these different things and had to bring these things to me. But I never lost the sight of that right there, that it is to be so normal, so natural, that he wants to speak to me. And it isn't to be such a big deal. It is to be so special. Now, there are going to be prophets. There's going to be apostles. There are going to be men who are gifted, women who are gifted in prophecy. This isn't any of those things. This is God, the Lord, communicating with a man who's become his disciple as a New Testament Christian. Carry this to our homes. Carry this to our... It wasn't offensive. He didn't bang on Judas's door. "Let me in. Who's there? Shut up. It's me. Who's me? Me. Let me in. I have the word of the Lord." No. And then again, the thing I love again, he just disappears. Boy, I wish I knew where he went. I know what he did. He just carried this on to John Doe and to Alma Smith and Bobby Joe and just the people that were in the Damascus community. I love that. Is that okay? Amen. Stand for me for a moment. I want to ask the Lord a couple things. I'm certainly going to come back in the future, especially as we approach the outpouring of the Spirit and the dimension of that. It certainly has been my, ever since, you know, it was not a good thing when they said to a Catholic kid, "You got to know this Bible." I thought, oh my God. I certainly don't know it. I'm green and wet. It's a well. But there's so much he wants to do. An outpouring of his Spirit. Change those 120. How could Peter, 50 days earlier, I mean, cut off a man's ear, and 50 days later he's standing up. 3 years after that, they'll threaten him, "We're going to kill you if you talk about Jesus." And he says, "Man, I don't want to die, but I got to tell you, I just can't help it. I want that kind of passion, that kind of fire. I'm not going to fight. Oh, yeah? Come on, bring it on. We're going to, oh, no, we're not fighting. We're not in a war. No." So I want to ask that the Lord pour out his Spirit. It was never to be for one city or one church, but I want it upon this church, upon this people, upon this state. The state of Virginia is one of the greatest states in our union. What a place of an incredible integrity and godliness and incredible people. a state that could change the world just by its mere people. You, awesome. Proud of the state. When they asked me, Jay, how are the churches? I said, you come to Virginia. That's a people there. They're awesome. You all right with that? It's a priestly thing. So, Father, I'm asking that we become this people, that we be the Ananias. It doesn't matter who we are or who remembers us. It's this communication that you so paid a dear price for, that we can hear you and know you and walk with you and be guided by you. Naturally, supernatural, super normal. It was like you. You just lived it. Incredible. You were unnoticeable. No one saw you. They saw him. And Lord, let it be the same in our generation, that they don't see Jay LaRue or us. They see you. You're testified through us. Supernaturally natural. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about giving the Lord a hand for me? Amen. Good. Please sit. Yeah. Please sit. Thank you. Sit. I have 10 minutes. Get 10 minutes-ish. So it'll be good. So listen, I'm going to do some things tight just so I get a few people. Him, they were a little different. That doesn't mean you're any less, but I want to say this to you. So you're going to see the Lord really refreshing the Abrahamic covenant with the two of you. But there's a portion of it that he is going to revive in your heart and your spirit, because you know that covenant is still living. It's still a part of us. It's still his desire to bless all the families of the earth. His desire that his seed be the continuation of what he's doing and the purposefulness of it. All that still continues. But it's this. It is that he longed and looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, who had foundations in it and had a cornerstone in it. And my brother and my sister, the Lord in these latter years are going to cause you to join hands and believe God for the city of the living God. I'm not talking about a theology. I'm not talking about something in the future, not something in a end time thing or the city. I'm not talking about that, but he looked for something that God was building, something that was a dwelling of God, something that God laid the foundation in. That's what he longed for, that he was the builder, he was the maker. And so you're going to see the Lord revive it, because you've always been a people of covenant, the two of you, always covenant. Because you can believe it, though. You can believe your sons and your grandchildren because of covenant. You can believe where you walk, and no matter what you see, he'll answer it. But he's coming to refresh this, that you believe that God will build his city, and that it'll be a true Mount Zion. It'll be a city of the living God, a city filled with the glory of God, with the presence of God, with the Prince dwelling in it, and out of her flows a river that touches the world and changes the world. He's come to revive it and refresh it in you. It is time in these days that we're in, this time period that we're in. It isn't a final hour, final day. The Lord can decide on those things. But it is a day of not the visitation of the Lord, but it's a day of the Lord apprehending his word, apprehending his people, that they would long to believe him and they would stand with him. He's refreshing it. Even during this nighttime, it's going to be refreshed within your hearts and your minds, that you hold hands and you pray and you believe God to your last breath that he would hold that part of the word to Abraham. Beautiful. My sister here, the Lord is really reviving and refreshing two clear things. The spirit of the midwife, the one especially that was in the early Exodus, the woman who the Hebrew writer talks about, that was not afraid of the king's commandment. Doesn't mean they were rebellious or outside of it, but they were willing to even though they were to kill the children, you know the story, they would not do it. They made sure that the men lived. It wasn't for them, there would have been no Moses, there would have been no Joshua, there would have been no lineage there. And the Lord made a promise to them that I would build them a sure house. Them and the word to the young prophet Samuel are the only two times it's given about Jesus Christ to Samuel. It's a word about the Lord building not a home, but a house, building your lineage, your people, building in your life. And the other one the Lord is going to begin to build within you is the spirit of the intercessor. The Lord is refreshing the call of God to pray and intercede where there's been a great travail in your heart over family and over life. There's been a history of disappointment and a history of things that didn't quite work out. You know, sometimes I'm so happy about this morning because I've got the mistakes. I just one of those guys that are hard-headed. I'm going that way. It can could be a wall. I don't care. I'll bang my head into it 100 times until I surrender. And the Lord goes, man, that took longer than I thought it was going to do. I mean, that's just who I am. And you've got that strong heart and you've got that determination to move forward. But sometimes the Lord wasn't moving you. He's keeping you still. And sometimes he was moving to the right, but you went forward. That's okay, because he's come to redeem all of the years, all of the days. Watch him do it. But this is the day that he's apprehended your heart, that you don't need to be in the first or up there. You just want to be his. He has been waiting for that. And so he'll refresh the call of God and the purpose of God and the ultimate intention of God in your heart, that you'll begin to believe. You'll be willing to restore things and restore relationships that have been difficult and that you didn't want to. We all have to do it. But you'll do this. And in the restoration, the Lord will work out the miraculous. Doesn't mean you have to go back to those relationships, but he's going to make sure that there's nothing pulling you. There's no place you can't go, but especially there's nothing you can't be in the kingdom of God and for him. And so, young lady, this is the deliverance of authority, deliverance of men, that you don't fear authority or fear men or fear women. You don't fear that they will do something or they'll make me go a certain way. You don't have to do that. I love the stories of our Bible. I love Moses. I love Joseph, Moses, and David especially, because it was out of their hands. Daniel even more so. It was out of their hands. I mean, they were prisoners. They were thrown into the wilderness. They were taken captivity. In all of this, they don't try to escape. They don't try to rebel. They just believe God will work out his will right there. Man, that speaks to me. And so the Lord is doing the same thing with you, that you won't have to worry about, well, what's their plan? What are they doing? Can I be assured of that? What about this? What about that? That's not up to us. That is God in his overall sovereignty, but in his providence, he works out his will. That's why we have a whole history right there. I only mentioned four of them, but there's a whole history of God working on his will, no matter what anybody thinks. Amen. Yeah, it's true. So my young lady, is this your uncle, father, brother? Okay, I know that. I'm just teasing you. So listen, very unique grace upon you. I couldn't help but to come by and just hit you and say, go for it, girl. Really is. And so you're going to decide what you're going to do with dad and future and everything. But the hand of the Lord is upon you. It isn't just the vocals, though, but he's already apprehended your young heart. Very rare grace. I love it when I see it upon somebody, because we don't get equal grace. Everybody gets a particular grace depending on God's ultimate intention for them. And so I love when I look at somebody and there's a great grace upon their lives. There's three dimensions: grace, great grace, and grace. When I see great grace on somebody already, the disciples after 5 years had great grace upon them. That was unusual. They didn't start with it. The Lord increased it. Already you have great grace. What that is influence upon the heart, divine influence. And the Lord already in your young age is divinely influencing you. Sure, you go through your teenage years. There'll be times you won't be sure. You'll have to listen to this again and think, was that guy was kind of weird? He scared me. But maybe he was right. I don't know. You know what I mean? He was kind of cool, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. But I was afraid. I didn't really hear everything he said. I was like, you know, why was I saying? You know, all those things you'll remember. But you have to notice that God has set you to be a young woman who not just sings about him, but will be a young woman who declares his word, declares the secret of the Lord. Doesn't mean you have to go to Bible college, but you be assured, girl, no matter what you choose the profession, I'm not going to say a lot about that now. That's going to be decided between your family, your leaders, all these things. You'll make the choice, but no matter what you do, the word of God will be your guide. There's several people that have been in that scriptures that were not prophets or apostles. They were young men and young women. The best one is Esther. She was just a girl. Man, the young lady changes the world. Great grace right there. It's just like that upon you. So please, as you sense the Lord that you should pray and read, do it. As you sense the Lord, you should say something to somebody, do it. Because there's nothing in you that, if there was a part in you that was like haughty and arrogant, I would say something. Listen, watch how you talk. Watch how you behave. Obey your parents. I don't have to say that to you. There's already a tender heart, and your lips are already honeyed by the Lord. There's already a salt on your words already at your tender age. So don't be afraid to do that. Don't push your way in. Pray for the friends that you know. God's ear is open to you even at this age. So it's an awesome time. Don't think that coming to church and youth and studying the Bible is some, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, it definitely does matter. It doesn't mean you have to be a scholar. One day you will be, because the Lord will just bring you to a place where you'll know, I need to be a scholar. I need to know this. And God will do that. But girl, I'm just telling you, keep your eyes upon him. There's so many things I don't want to say now. I'm just not saying. The Lord, many things he's just going to work within you. But you're going to have to learn guidance from him and from the folks around you. And this just comes to let you know that it is a unique thing the Lord has done with you. Born uniquely, set uniquely, and graced uniquely. I got to do this quick. I got to jump to the other side real fast. I think so. Yeah, there's another young couple I need to speak to. They're older than you guys. So how you doing? Good? Great. So listen, you know, I love when I see the Lord kind of marking people that are to be advancing. You know, this is a key thing. There's a real difference between believers and disciples. Even amongst disciples, there's a difference. There was a time in Jesus' life, his ministry, that some disciples no longer followed him. They never stop being disciples. So a disciple gets to choose how much he wants to hear, how much he wants to eat, how much he wants. For me, I wanted it all. I still want it all. I'm still his disciple, no matter what other people call me. I'm a pupil. I'm learning. Sometimes D's, sometimes A's. Yo, it's how school goes. Sometimes I'm doing better in Christ. Sometimes I'm not doing as well. Sometimes I'm just, but I'm in this school. I love it. And so this is the drawing of the Lord to bring the two of you into a place of a fresh level of approach to him, a fresh level of involvement in the church, a fresh understanding that we're not just to be bystanders. Oh, I know you're busy. Come on. Of course I know that. I know your life. Believe it or not, I know what's going on. I know it's weighty. I know there's... Don't let it move you. You know, the Lord has a history. Sorry, if he has to make the sun stand still, he'll make it stand still. So everything can be accomplished in a day. Don't weigh it out. Don't measure it out. Don't go, oh my God, I'm exhausted. It's only Tuesday. Don't say that. Don't worry about that. Even if you're exhausted on Tuesday, it doesn't matter. You're going to begin to drink of a fountain that has everlasting life. It supersedes natural strength, natural life, natural energy. It's supernatural. But this is a clear call to the Lord to come up. It's a clear call to the Lord to both of you to come to this new place of involvement. Understand that the Lord is setting you and arranging and running you to be part of the team, not the pastoral team. Don't look at that. Well, what team? The team, this team, the team of the living God, the team that's all in, the team that's got their game on, the team that loves to prepare for the game, the team that's looking to the one who leads the team, that team. Just a young man and a young woman in the kingdom of God. You watch and see what the Lord will do. He's going to come to your family and bring salvation in ways that are not possible. And he's going to heal every disappointment of your younger years. When you look at her and think, I wish I could have been loved the same way all of my life. You will not repeat the things that have gone by. The things that you have known, you will never repeat them. The Lord's redeemed his young woman, and he calls her his own. And he will heal in incredible ways. Even some things sometimes that I think don't bother me, they were back there, and they're still like a pebble in my shoe, and they call. Caused me to be uncertain. They caused me to fear. They caused me to just, I just don't know what to do with them. Even those things, he's going back to heal them, to bring full deliverance and bring liberty to his daughter, that she might freely be his, freely love him, freely walk out her life, freely love, freely forgive, and freely forget. Whoa, can you imagine? It takes freedom to forget. Maybe just one more. Stop. Ananias. Come on, don't you just want to walk into a Starbucks? Just look around and go, huh, okay. That's going on. That guy's going this. Because people say to me, Dr. J, when you go into a room, do you just see into everybody's life? And I say to them, I do. They say, what do you do about that? Nothing. I enjoy my coffee. Sometimes I'll say something. Wow, that's incredible. I said, no. It's normal. Maybe a little different than normal, but close. Okay. Yeah, I had to make sure I got over here. Wow, what a good couple. Taking notes. Girl, I like note takers. You're already in my, you already got a piece of me right here. I love that. What integrity in a couple. What Nathaniels. I love Nathaniel in our Bible because of Jesus' words to him. A man of no guile, who could find such a man? And he's kind of awed at that. He goes, wow, you knew I was sitting back there and I had no guile. He goes, you haven't seen anything yet. He was right. Because Nathaniel, though we don't see much of him the rest of his life, though, he was going to see this movement upon Jesus Christ that would shake his world and the entire world. And so I want you to know, my brother and my sister, the Lord is moving in your direction to bring an understanding and a revelation about the kingdom of God. It's the financial part of the kingdom, the strength and stability of the kingdom, the incredible ability for the kingdom to be established in any place, in any darkness, in any light, in any way, and how the kingdom of God is in itself a refuge for everyone who comes, and it is a place of no fear. It is a place of no fear, no regrets. It is the greatest place in the world, and the Lord is going to begin to speak and reveal these things to you so that you could take them to your group of people that you meet with, that are with you, because the Lord has brought the two of you here and put you two together. You know, I love this, though. You know, you have your hands full, so I just want to say this. I mean, you know, she's more than you thought, and you used to be really big and tall, but when you found her, you were not so big, not so tall. Yeah, no, no. She has a way of bringing you down to kind of where you have to be. I know that was tough in the beginning, and I feel your pain. But it really was blending the two of you so there would be oil and vinegar. It would be that way. There would be, when the blend the two of them together, it makes everything have this incredible taste, this flavor. And so he's been working, blending you two together. It doesn't mean we say the same or do the same things. You're still individuals. But he's building a team that will be unpenetratable, a team that will be so crystal clear. I mean, she'll talk and you'll be there to share. You'll share and she'll come around. It'll be this incredible way. It doesn't mean, you know, I know sometimes you just fill each other's sentences. I don't mean that. You end each other's words. It's not that. But there's going to be this miraculous demonstration of unity, of love, of individualism, but a oneness that God is doing between the two of you that he wants to share and shape with other people, other couples, especially younger couples, especially couples who are just struggling, who are married and they both are strong, or one is strong, just so that they could see that this thing really works. See, he didn't want to come and change you from being strong. What he was going to do, as he's done with me and my wife, is just make sure that he was the initiator of the strength, and it was by the strength of God and not the strength of Jay or your strength. That's what he's been doing. And so please know the value you are to this church, and this all goes by through those pastors, but God wants to multiply you. And so he'll use you as an example, as a small group, a home group, people invited to your house. You got to have people in your house. You got to have people in your house, lost or saved. It doesn't matter, whoever you want, have them come. But you'll be a model for them, and this will be reproduced. And we'll have this whole section sitting here with couples who God's uniquely did. Some will be businessmen. Some will just be individuals who work in different places, but they'll carry with them this incredible unity that's in the Godhead, this incredible preferring one another that's in the Godhead. The Lord is doing it with you. I mean, he has so snickered and joyed at the process as I'm watching and seeing it. He's been at the process. He's kind of been like this sometimes and go, this is so cool, just because of how it's worked between the two of you. It's been a beautiful thing. Stand with me, please. With the kids, I play a little more. Ananias, excuse me, I just want to see this one scene. Ananias. Okay, well. Boy, you know, a tremendous price was paid that we could just be face to face. I'm not living any less. Not for me, for us. Father, thank you for this night. For this weekend, I so am thankful for you inviting us in to this fellowship, into this kingdom, into this body. Wow. All the members fit together, set by you, honoring each other. That's an amazing thing. Thank you for that. I pray great grace and grace upon this church and upon these people, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jay. Let's say thank you.